Welcome everybody to today's session. And as you can see, we have Sayadaw Uindaka here. And he will begin the session with giving a Dhamma talk on Metta for about half an hour. So I invite Sayadaw to start the talk.
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa.
Today is Friday. It's the 23rd of February,
2023.
So here at the Chamye Myain Meditation Center, it's now this year the second Metta retreat that is taking place. And Sayadaw is very pleased that all of you are taking place in this, taking part in this Metta retreat. Metta is something that everybody should cultivate. And it would be even better if not every person, if not every human being would cultivate Metta, but if every living being would cultivate Metta. Because all those who cultivate metta, they will experience a calm and peaceful heart and mind. Through this practice, first of all, the heart and mind of the person who cultivates the metta will become calm and peaceful. And when one continues with the practice and the metta gets stronger, then it's the whole body and mind that will be suffused with metta. And if one continues with the practice and the metta becomes even stronger, then also the people and living beings near to us in our environment, they also will feel calm and peaceful. The stronger our metta is, the more we feel calm and peaceful, then all the living beings around us in our environment will also feel calm and peaceful. And this is something that you, as yogis, as meditators, can actually also directly experience. This is why Sayadaw is very pleased and proud of you that you are engaging in the metta meditation practice. So today, Sayadaw wants to talk about how the Metta Sutta came into existence.
At
the time of the Buddha, At one time, the Buddha stayed in the Chetavana monastery near the town of Savatthi. And a group of 500 monks went to the Buddha. And they said, during the rainy season, during the Vasa, we want to go to the forest and practice meditation. And therefore, please instruct us how we should practice Vipassana meditation. And so with that, the Buddha instructed these monks how to practice Vipassana meditation. And he said, if you practice in this way, then you might become Sotapanna, stream enterer, or Sakadagami, once returner, or Anagami, never returner, non-returner, or you might become an Arahant, fully liberated person. So then after that, the monks took their alms bowl, their robes, and left for a place in a forest. And as they were walking, searching for a suitable place in a forest, they came to a village. And when the people from the village saw the monks, they had a lot of respect for them. So the people offered them food. And the people asked the monks, and now, where are you going? So the monks replied that they were not going to a specific place, but that they were looking for a suitable place to practice meditation. And so they came to this village. They happened to come here. And the people then said, well, in this case, please stay here during Vasa and practice meditation here near the village. And they said, if you stay here near the village, then we can practice dana, practice generosity by offering you food and so on. And we can also keep the precept, the sila, virtuous conduct, and you, the monks, you can practice meditation. So the monk accepted that offer, and with that the villagers showed the monk a forest a bit outside of the village. And when they came to that forest, in the trees, there were devas, celestial beings that actually live on earth in the trees.
So the
devas, they saw the monks coming, and then they said to each other, well, these monks are coming endowed with sila, virtuous conduct, so it's not fit for us to stay up on the trees, on a higher place. So let's go down onto the earth. Because the devas were thinking that these monks would only stay one night there in the forest, and that on the following day they would leave. On the next day, in the morning, the monks went for alms round to the village, but after that they came back to the forest and stayed another night. And again, the devas thought, well then, tomorrow they will leave this place. And this happened every day like this for 15 days. And after these 15 days had passed, the devas started to reflect and were thinking, well, it seems like these monks will be staying here for the whole duration of the vasa, the 3 months period. And they said, well, if they stay for the 3 months period of vasa, that this is not going to work for us, because we cannot live all the time on the ground. So they said, well, we have to frighten these monks so that they do not stay on here. So then, when the monks were meditating in that forest, they appeared with their power, they appeared as beings without heads. Or some other devas, they produced terrible, frightening sounds. And the monks, they were really afraid. Some of them started to cough, others got the running nose, some got the fever. And it was so bad that the monks no longer could practice meditation. In the afternoon, the monks met, and then one monk said, you know, it's so terrible, I saw a person without a head. And another monk said, well, and I saw a head without a body attached to it, and the head was rolling on the ground. And And another monk said, and I heard these terrible, frightening sounds around noon. And so they decided that it was no longer suitable to stay in that forest, and they said, let's go back to see the Buddha. So then they went back and went to see the Buddha. And when the Buddha saw them, he said, my dear monks, why do you come back here during the period of Vassa? So the monks then said, well, you know, we are afraid of the ghosts in the forest we had been staying. So we could no longer stay there. We were so afraid. That's why we came back. And then the Buddha said, well, my dear monks, go back to that forest and continue to practice meditation. Stay there for the rest of Vassa. But they said, dear Buddha, let us not go back to that forest. Please tell us another, a more suitable place where we can go and practice meditation. The Buddha then said, my dear monks, you went there to that forest without a weapon. That's why you were afraid. So the Buddha said, I will give you a weapon, and, you know, holding this weapon, then go back to that forest. And so then with that, the Buddha gave the discourse of the Metta Sutta.
The Metta Sutta you
Then the Buddha said, you know, go back to that place by reciting the Metta Sutta, and in this way you will no longer be afraid of the ghosts. You will be protected. And so with this, then the monks left where the Buddha was staying, and they were reciting the Metta Sutta and going back to that forest. And when the monks arrived back in that forest, the devas living there, they were no longer making difficulties for the monks, but because they were full of metta, they had a lot of respect for these monks. So for the devas, it was like a good friend who had gone away on a trip was coming back. And so it was like these monks had been good friends, gone away and coming back home. And so with this, the devas went up to the monks, took their alms bowl and their additional robe, and they were carrying them for the monks. And they also offered water to the monks, drinking water and water for washing their feet. And then, when the monks were meditating, they did not disturb them any longer, and actually they took care of the monks.
And
so the monks could practice meditation without danger and being happy in body and mind. And so in this way, they were practicing meditation for the rest of the Vasa. And at the end of Vasa, after 3 months, all of these monks became fully liberated. They all became arahants. So the metta practice, metta meditation, it belongs to the samatha meditations. However, when one engages in the vipassana meditation practice, it would be very good to first practice metta meditation.
Metta bwa bima vipassana atho metta bwa bima vipassana dia atho dilo lo ya.
So one should start with practicing metta meditation and then switch to vipassana meditation.
Chin ja ja ji mho daw ma 15 minute lo metta bwa bwa bima vipassana dia set bi atho.
Or one can start a session with 10 minutes or 15 minutes of metta meditation and then switch to the vipassana meditation. So having metta as a base, then one is free from dangers, one is protected, and the mind becomes calm and peaceful. So, take this group of monks as an example. You know, first, when they started directly with the practice of vipassana meditation, then they met with difficulties and disturbances, and they were afraid. But then, when they started with the practice of metta meditation, taking that as a base, and then engaged in the vipassana meditation, then they became arahants, fully liberated. So metta meditation is a foundation for the attainment of path and fruition knowledge, or to become fully liberated. And something else to notice is that among all the weapons that exist, metta is the best weapon. Metta is the best weapon because, you know, among all the weapons that exist in this world, guns and bombs and knives and so on, so they can give not a full protection. But with metta as a weapon, can give protection and can remove the dangers. And also, with the power of metta, this can turn enemies into friends. Or else, people that we hate, through the practice of metta meditation, they can turn into people who are dear to us. So, metta is a medicine that is loved by humans and devas. So, how to cultivate metta, what time, or how long, which orders, or so, Sayadaw will talk about that in his next talk. So may all of you be able to continue with the practice of metta meditation, and by doing so, may you be free from danger and harm. May you be happy and peaceful in both body and mind, and may you be able to attain Nibbana, to become fully liberated.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Oh. Hokana internet. You are still there?
I just reclaimed host, so we can use my computer. This is fine. So, Aria, why don't we?
That's in the hotel, Vera. Computer, Tima.
Check to make sure.
Can you unmute yourself?
Yeah.
There is your light, or this one.
I'm not muted, Aria. I have to join.
Canale.
9:00 PM.
Seat,
sadhu, 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 bhapriya.
That is, don't you know, you get it. I am young.
Excuse us while we deal with technical difficulties. Your computer. Okay. Super. Yes, I know. How is my audio? Can you hear me? No, maybe not. Maybe I'm not connected.
Oh. Loud.
We seem to have a really rather bad connection. We do not have power right now. So I need to have some sense from people that you can hear me. Maybe somebody write a message. Okay, excellent. Thank you, Riet. Because we can't see anybody. We have nobody on our screen except two people. So. So with that talk by Sayadaw as our inspiration, now we go into our silent metta meditation. Today, as we did for the second half of our sitting yesterday. As we did yesterday. We'll cultivate loving kindness for a benefactor. If you like, you can choose a third benefactor, or you can stay with the same person you chose yesterday or even the day before, if that's working well for you. Trust your own judgment in this. And we'll practice in the same way as we did yesterday. So settle back. Please relax as much as you can physically. Resting back in this mind and body, just as it is right now. Taking a moment to just simply connect with yourself and with the heart. Connecting with the heart space in whatever way is easiest for you. You can put your hand there if you have trouble connecting with that area of the body. And taking a few moments to radiate loving kindness for yourself. Using the phrase you've used before in your own language.
Using the phrase you've used before in your own language.
Using the phrase you've used before in your own language.
Unjoin from audio.
Unjoin from audio. Unjoin. go back to that. Click on audio.
That's what I did.
And that's not.
What I did.
Yeah, this is here.
What I did.
Yeah, this is
remembering to simply start again if you become distracted by sound, by thought. Simply again connecting to the heart, radiating loving kindness for yourself. And when you feel ready, I invite you to move on to this benefactor. Cultivating loving kindness, using this for person as the basis for your well-wishing. In the same way and with the same phrase that you've used before. Bringing this person to heart and mind with an image or simply a felt sense of their presence. And continuing in the silence, moment to moment, inclining the heart to kindness. Moment to moment, planting seeds of metta for this benefactor. closing with our formal practice and continuing in our general activities in the listening, looking at the screen, staying connected with this cultivation of metta. This is the biggest challenge of the practice in our daily life, when we're active, when we're listening, when we're talking, when we're doing things. Stay connected with this cultivation. And in our general activities in the next 24 hours, feeling free to practice in whatever way is most supportive of you and the cultivation of metta. In your formal sitting and walking practice, continuing with the benefactor, and please experiment, feel free to experiment. Either stay with this one benefactor or move from the first to the second to the third in the course of your sitting. Whatever works best for you. And now I turn you over to Ariya, and hopefully you can hear us. We're having some technical difficulties here.
Sorry. We don't hear you very well.
We understand.
Okay. So I will continue. René, can you hear me? Can you understand me?
It's better now.
Yeah, Ariya is closer to the computer, so it's good.
Okay, then at least I know you can hear me. And so then now it's the time to ask questions. So whatever questions you have, please.
Could you just repeat what Aya Virayani said?
Okay, you go.
Well, you have to do it because you're closer to the microphone.
I was so much concerned with that I did not really listen what you said.
Can you hear me if I lean over closer to the microphone?
Can you put that a bit over here? Sorry.
No, we're having...
Well, like this.
Okay. How is that, Chuan? Is that better? Okay, good. So in your formal sitting, in your formal walking, in this next period of time, the next 24 hours, continuing with the benefactor, and feel free to experiment to see what supports a continuity of metta best for you. You can stay with one benefactor, perhaps the first one or the easiest one. You can change partway through to a second or even third benefactor, going step by step into deeper metta. Whatever works for you in the formal practice. In the general activities, as we've done before, please feel free to cultivate metta in as many ways as you need to find as best a continuity as you can in your general activities. So connecting with the phrase when you can, connecting with that attitude of metta when it's more difficult. And as we instructed yesterday, as Ariya instructed yesterday, if you would like, using the chanting in those times when you are commuting or walking, if you find it's helpful to maintaining that connection with metta.
Somebody else with a question?
Where's the clock?
Could it help to say the metta words loud?
Yes, that could help. You know, if you are alone and not disturbing another meditator, then of course you can say the metta words loud.
Or can I make a song of it? Can I sing it like a tune, my own words, rather not a chant, but my own words?
Yes, that's also possible. You know, as Ayaviranyani has said yesterday, you know, the chants, like words with melody and rhythm, touches our heart and mind on a different level. Because, you know, with melody and rhythm, you know, it's more like touching the affective side of us or the emotional side of us. And so this can be another way of opening up that gateway to metta, connecting with metta. Yes, yeah, so, you know, feel free to experiment and create your own metta songs and chants.
Is giving thanks also metta, or is it a different practice, like thanking food, for instance, or giving thanks to things or people?
Yes. Indeed, you know, being grateful, saying thank you to people, to circumstances, that's an expression of metta. You know, it's showing your gratitude, you know, gratitude. Expressing your gratitude is a kind of being friendly, of being open-hearted. So, you know, saying thank you, being grateful, I would say it's like a more specific form of metta.
Hello, everybody. And I began only yesterday evening, and so I'm still with myself, and I'm doing metta for myself, and it was difficult at the beginning to do metta for myself, so I imagine that another person was talking to me and was saying these words, the phrases for me. Is that okay? And then it was easier to pass, to say it alone to myself. Is it okay?
Yes, Fabiana, you know, for you, this is a helpful and skillful gateway to cultivate metta for yourself, then you can do that. And as you have said, you know, later on, it was possible to just cultivate the metta for you. So use that wave when it's helpful.
Thank you.
I have one question.
I'm wondering whether it would not be easier to generate the meta feeling and connect to it when radiating it to a group of people who are in difficulties, like people who are now in the war, or people in the earthquake, or people who do not have enough food or shelter or things like that. Isn't that, or is that something different? Is that more going into the direction of compassion rather than metta?
Yes, thank you, Alan. As you say, you know, this is more going in the direction of compassion, karuna. As you say, you know, people in difficulties, in the war, who are starving or living in areas where there is conflict, or, you know, being affected by the earthquake. So, yes, you know, there, it's people who have a difficult situation, who are suffering in one way or another. And so, you know, to wish them to be well or to be free from the danger or to be healthy or to have food, this is the domain of karuna, of compassion. You know, when we look at the four Brahma Viharas, metta is kind of the umbrella over everything. You know, metta is this just general wish for beings to be happy, well, free from danger and harm, and so on. Karuna is more specific. It's like when metta meets with pain, difficulty, suffering, then that turns into compassion. And mudita, gladness, sympathetic joy, is like when metta meets with success and good health and, you know, favorable conditions. Then, you know, that's more specific, sympathetic joy. And upekkha is this equanimity, a balanced state of mind in the face of whatever the situation is. Of course, you know, it has a different taste or flavor, but, you know, the basic quality of metta is also present there. So, and as we are now, you know, engaging in metta meditation practice, so directing the mind to a group of people who are suffering or are in difficulties is not, you know, what we want to cultivate right now with the practice of metta meditation.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a question.
Yes, please.
As metta is unconditional, in my practice I have to meet my own conditionality. For example, practicing the metta wish for myself, sometimes a realization comes up, I'm not happy. Or I may not perhaps be healthy as I want to be. So I attach myself to certain conditions that I or imagine or that I know are so or think so or have associations with. So it is kind of as if the exercise reveals my conditionality in the face of its nature being unconditioned. Now this morning, while practicing in the garden, walking meditation, there arrived a moment when the wishes in succession suddenly led to a short moment of such openness in which there was no association at all with the conditions in which I find myself normally. And that somehow seemed like a taste of the unconditional. But it's revealing how somehow this conditionality is revealed in trying to practice something that is unconditional. It's a kind of conundrum.
Yes.
That I find fascinating and makes me wonder about what true unconditionality is.
Well, you know, I think describing your experience, you already got this little taste of this unconditionality. And so you see, you know, yeah, living in a conditioned world and conditions are there, but still the mind can open up to that unconditional friendliness. You know, it does not matter whether you feel happy or distressed, whether you are completely healthy or have pain, but when the mind opens up to that unconditional metta, as you have experienced for a moment, for a few moments, a little while, so then there is just this open-hearted well-wishing of the heart regarding or regardless how you feel or what the circumstances are.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So with this, let's go to the metta chants. And I want to start with the Metta Sutta on page 4, the English translation of the Metta Sutta. Sayadaw Indaka has told the story of how this Metta Sutta came into existence. What were the circumstances that moved the Buddha to give this discourse to this group of 500 monks? And, you know, through the centuries, this sutta, this discourse, has come to us. And we can chant it, and we can practice accordingly, and take inspiration from these words. So then let's start. This is what should be done by one who is killed in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm and wise and skillful, not proud or demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great and the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be at ease. Let none deceive another or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will Visharmapananata, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outward and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness, one should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding. By not holding two fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being free from sense desire, is not born again into this world. And then let's go to page 6. At the top of the page, there is a chant called Frida, or peace. And it's a chant or a song in Swiss German. It's a canon. And, you know, it has the perfect meta words, meta wishes. You have the English translation below. And I read out the German words, the Swiss German words, for those who are not yet familiar with it. Friede wünsche mir und Friede wünsche dir, Friede für uns alle und für die ganze Welt. So then we do this chant a few times. Frieda wünsch ich mir und Frieda wünsch ich dir. Frieda für uns alle und für die ganze Welt. Frieda wünsch ich mir und Frieda wünsch ich dir, Frieda für uns alle und für die ganze Welt. Frieda wünsch ich mir und Frieda wünsch ich dir, Frieda für die ganze Welt. Frieda wünsch ich mir und Frieda wünsch ich dir. Frieda für uns alle und für die ganze Welt. So with this, we are at the end of this online session. Thank you for being patient with us and putting up with our technical difficulties. But at least we have made it through. And we hope that for the group interviews, the connection will be good enough. It's Group C with Aya Viranyani and Group F with myself. And we will start the group interviews in 10 minutes from now. So again, we encourage you to be there in 10 minutes. So thank you very much, and see you again very soon or tomorrow.
Oof. Jeez.
Oh.